The Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, sometimes I think when we read the Bible, we don't read it carefully. It's almost like we think Abraham said that. The Lord said that. I wonder if the Lord came right up to you and looked you straight in the eyes and said, is there anything too hard for me to do? You see, we can talk about the unlimited power of God, that there's nothing too hard for him to do, but the fact is, a lot of us question that. When we need help and it doesn't seem to be forthcoming, and we prayed and there's been no answer, where is the power of God? And God would look you straight in the eyes and say, is there anything too hard for me to do?
Welcome to Hope for Today. The world is drunk on power. It chases it, boasts in it, weapons it. But all the power of man, all the power man can muster, is dust compared to the matchless power of the living God. Today, Bible teacher David Hawking begins a message called The Power of God. It's part of our ongoing series on the attributes of God. As David continues the series, he's going to open up the Word and show us what the Bible declares about the awesome, unrivaled power of our Lord. Stay tuned. We're about to go back into the Word of God. Just before our lesson time, we want to tell you about a free resource available to you right now at the Hope for Today homepage. Our website is davidhawking.org. This resource is called Does God Truly Love Me? It's just 10 pages written by our good friend Richard A. Bennett, and it's a free download designed to help you or someone you know find real assurance that the God we're studying in this current radio series truly loves you. It's a helpful resource available in multiple languages. There's nothing to sign up for. Just go to David Hawking, that's David, HOCKING.org. Right there on the homepage, click on Does God Truly Love Me? Select the language you want, download it, read it, share with as many folks as you like. Again, look for Does God Truly Love Me? On the homepage of davidhawking.org. And here's David with today's study.
Psalm 111. This is the third in our series on who God is. We started with the greatness of God, moved to the sovereignty of God, and today we look at the power of God. Psalm 111, a psalm of praise. Praise the Lord is hallelujah in any language. Psalm 111, praise the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, studied by all who have pleasure in them. His work is honorable and glorious, and his righteousness endures forever. He has made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He's given food to those who fear him. He will ever be mindful of his covenant. He has declared to his people the power of his works in giving them the heritage or inheritance of the nations. The works of his hands are verity and justice, and all his precepts are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He has sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Verse 6 is the key. He has declared to his people the power of his works. There are really two concepts that I want you to walk out of here with today about the power of God. One is that his power is unique. Now, there's a lot of ways in which God does things that are frankly similar to what man does. But when we speak of the uniqueness of the power of God, what we mean is that God can do what no one else can do. The second principle we want you to leave with today is not only that his power is unique, but that his power is unlimited. that there is nothing too hard for him to do. Maybe you've wanted God to do something in your life. You prayed about it and it didn't happen. People often focus on the power of God in a way that, hey, man in technologically advanced areas can do the same thing. So we begin to question the power of God. We want to look at the uniqueness of God's power and the fact that it is unlimited. There isn't anything that he can't do. Let's start by going to Psalm 71. Psalm 71. As we look at the uniqueness of the power of God, his power is unique. The simple statement, no one can do what God can do. In Psalm 71, verse 19, it says, also your righteousness, God, is very high. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? Obviously, no one. You who have done great things, O God, who is like you? No one can do what he does. Look at chapter 77, verse 13 and 14. Chapter 77, 13 and 14. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Obviously, no one. You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength, your power among the peoples. And yet there's also a corollary truth there that we need to understand. God has declared or shown his power among the people, but is it not also true that among the people of God, we also see evidence as to why we don't believe the power of God? We need to remember that. All of life sometimes appears to be contradictory to what we say we believe. We believe God can do anything that is unique, and no one can do what he can do. And yet the fact is that a lot of Christians live their life without ever seeing any demonstration of the power of God. At least if it is operating, they don't understand it. They don't perceive it to be the power of God, and so they wonder sometimes. It's like you go to church and you hear these things and know you should believe them, but you've not seen it in your life, so do you really believe it? God's power is unique. Let's take, first of all, creation. Go to Isaiah, please, chapter 44. Isaiah chapter 44. In Isaiah chapter 44, verse 24, the case is presented to us. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all alone. No one else helped him. Who spreads abroad the earth by myself. The uniqueness of God, no one can do what he can do, and no one helped him do it. Chapter 45, verse 5. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God beside me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to its setting that there's none besides me. I am the Lord and there is no other. I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. Verse 18, for thus says the Lord who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord and there is no other. On and on it goes. And God says to it, there ain't anybody like me. Who'd you think would be compared with me? Look at creation. And you should understand that the power of God is unique. No one can do what he can do. Let me give you a second line of thought. Turn back to chapter 44. Not only his creation, but his control of time, events, and circumstances. In Isaiah 44, verse 6, God speaks about his power in controlling time, events, and circumstances in our life. In chapter 44, verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I'm the first, I'm the last. Beside me, there's no God, his uniqueness again. And who can proclaim as I do? Can you say something's going to happen and it happens? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me. You think you can do it? Go ahead and do it. Since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? Haven't I mapped it all out? You are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one. Folks, you know, one of the greatest proofs or evidences of the Bible being the unique and supernatural book it is the fact that we have fulfilled prophecy in its pages. Not just unfulfilled, things that are yet to come, but we have prophecies that we can prove historically when they were written, and prophecies that predict nations, their rise and their fall, and it's already happened in history.
And we know the Bible was written before it happened. Fulfilled prophecy is an enormous testimony to the inerrancy and inspiration of this book. But God's saying, listen, it takes my power to do that. You think you could do it? Then go ahead and do it. Map out the next 100 years and let's see if everything comes to pass just like you said. He controls it all. His power is being demonstrated. Look at chapter 46, verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Obviously, you can't do it with anyone. Verse 9, remember the former things of old? For I am God and there is no other. I'm God, there's none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I'll do all my pleasure. Calling a bird of prey from the east, the man who executes my counsel from a far country, I've done it all. Indeed, I have spoken it. I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it. I also will do it. Hey, that sounds to me like he's in charge. Amen? You want to know about the power of God? Then see it in creation and see it in his control of all time, events, and circumstances throughout history. But let me give you another idea to bring it closer to home. You can see the uniqueness of the power of God in the care of his people. Look at chapter 43. In particular, the people of Israel. They've gone through a lot and God's taken care of them and fulfilled many promises to them and will fulfill a lot more. In Isaiah chapter 43, I read these wonderful words in the opening 13 verses about the care of God for his people and that no one could have done it like he did. It says, but now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you by your name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your descendants from the east, gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up to the south. Do not keep them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who's called by my name, whom I've created for my glory. I formed him. Yes, I made him. Bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring out their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. You are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God form, nor shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you're my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there's no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Now, that's quite a statement from God. What he's saying to his people is, look, I've done this all for you. And I'm predicting many wonderful things in the future. And though you go into captivity, I'll bring you back from every part of the globe. I'm going to do it all. I love you. I'll take care of you no matter what trouble you're in. No matter how the rivers may overflow you or the fire may scorch you, I'll be there and I'll take care of you. Why? Because there's no God like me. The uniqueness of our God. His power is unique. But the second principle I want you to see, and one we want to spend some time with, is that his power is unlimited. There is nothing too hard for God to do. Turn to Psalm 145, please. Psalm 145. Not only is his power unique that no one can do what God can do, but his power is unlimited. There's nothing too hard for him to do. Psalm 145. Look at the opening verses. I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty or powerful acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might or power of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. I look down at verse 10. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty or powerful acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all generations. They shall talk of what? Your powerful acts. They shall talk of your power. God's power is unlimited. There is nothing too hard for him to do. And let me give you just four ways in which you can see the unlimited power of God. One, in the very first book of the Bible, after the story of creation, it is emphasized in the miraculous birth of a boy named Isaac. Turn in Genesis chapter 18 again. God brings his enormous power of creation down to the human level and shows us what he can do in our lives and experiences. The power of God is unlimited. It was emphasized in the miraculous birth of Isaac, a boy born to Abraham and Sarah in their old age. They were told they were going to have a child when Sarah was 89 and Abraham was 99. Verse 11, now Abraham and Sarah were old, well advanced in age, and Sarah had passed the age of childbearing. The first time I ever got a hold of this story, I know God said they were old, well advanced in age. And when I first started a church, there was a couple in the church who was, in my opinion, very old. You know what scares me? I'm now older than they were at the time. So when you say old person, you got to kind of evaluate it. But I guess when you get to be 90 and 100, we can say old, okay? Now it says, Sarah, verse 12, laughed within herself, saying, after I've grown old, shall I have pleasure? My Lord being old also. I mean, take a look at him. He's no spring chicken. And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old? Would God not say to you, why did you think that I could not do what is troubling you? The Lord said, is anything too hard for the Lord? You know, sometimes I think when we read the Bible, we don't read it carefully. It's almost like we think Abraham said that. The Lord said that. I wonder if the Lord came right up to you and looked you straight in the eyes and said, is there anything too hard for me to do? You see, we can talk about the unlimited power of God, that there's nothing too hard for him to do, but the fact is, a lot of us question that. Especially in a crisis or a difficult time when we need help and it doesn't seem to be forthcoming. And we prayed and there's been no answer. Where is the power of God? And God would look you straight in the eyes and say, is there anything too hard for me to do? You see, the unlimited power of God early in the history of the Bible and the history of the world, for that matter, was emphasized in the miraculous birth of that child named Isaac. Isaac, which in Hebrew means laughter. God's a little joke on them for laughing at his power. You can imagine what the kid had to say when he went to school, as I like to think. You know, can you imagine the embarrassment? Everybody cracked up laughing every time they looked at the kid. That's what his name means. Why'd they call you Laughter? Well, you should see my dad. Number two, you asked me about the unlimited power of God? Turn to the book of Job. It not only was emphasized in the miraculous birth of the boy Isaac, it was also explained by God in his answer to Job. Now, folks, Job is an interesting book. It's the kind of book you got to read at one sitting. You don't just take it piecemeal, you'll get confused. As a matter of fact, I've observed that Christians who are down or discouraged or defeated often read Job. Job lost everything. Then he had sores all over his body, and his wife tells him to curse God and die. I mean, why do you keep on with this faith business when look at what's happening to you? And a lot of people read Job and they try to identify with him. Then they take some verses out, like the advice of his three friends, and they think that is what God's saying to them. And so you miss the whole message of Job. You know what the message of Job is? When we ask, why, Lord, am I suffering? Why, Lord, am I going through all this trouble? The message of Job is, you don't know why. But I want to know why. I'm not going to tell you. But I can't go on unless I know why. Well, then fold up. I'm not telling. There's not an answer in Job except God knows what he's doing. He can do anything. There's nothing too hard for him to do. So keep quiet. And God likes it that way.
That's Bible teacher and author David Hawking, and this is Hope for Today. David will be back to close out today's Time in the Word in just a moment. Do stay tuned for that. First, Matt and I have a resource that we believe you're going to find extremely helpful.
Jim, you know, when listening to a message or sermon, I wish I had 100% recall and retention.
Oh, yeah.
Like lightning fast, bullseye, accurate note-taking skills.
Oh, yeah.
And the opportunity to ask the speaker a clarifying question at any point during the session.
But you don't,
nope.
And I don't. None of us do. You know, Matt, the old joke goes, I have photographic memory, but I can't find any film for it. And too often, we hear a biblical truth that ministers to our heart or an application that would be perfect to share with a friend.
Yeah, something that would be tremendously helpful and life-changing.
Yeah, but we can't get it written down.
Nope. And it's lost from memory, right?
You can't write it down, and later you can't remember it.
Either. Yeah,
no,
right?
No. Well, this month, Hope for Today is offering a dynamite resource bundle, David's original sermon notes and outline packs for all 27 of his teaching series in the New Testament.
You know, these are the sermon notes and outlines he used to preach each and every message, and they reflect his extensive study and prayerful applications. The 4 hours a day thing, yeah, right?
Yeah, Matt, wow, what a blessing that is that God gave your dad that ability to teach and that heart for studying the Word of God four hours a day. And these sermon notes are reflective of that study. The sermon notes help you capture the lessons and applications and encouragement from the message, each message in a New Testament series, in a comprehensive but concise format.
Get in touch today and purchase the study notes outlines packs for all 27 of my dad's teaching series in the New Testament.
The bundle is just $75.
Mm-hmm.
Get this and you'll be ready for each and every upcoming Hope for Today radio series in the New Testament.
Or you'll have a ready foundation for your own study or to teach a group study.
And your purchase or donation will also help the ministry of Hope for Today.
And please remember to pray for Hope for Today.
Yeah, please do that.
Amen.
Order any or all of these resources on our website, davidhawking.org, or call us at 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 800-75-242-53. If you're listening in Canada, call 888-75-BIBLE. And as you visit the website or listen online, would you prayerfully consider standing with Hope for Today financially? This ministry doesn't run on wishful thinking. Your gifts help keep this broadcast on the air. They help us keep declaring the truth of God's Word without softening it, spinning it, or apologizing for it. Make a donation on our website, davidhawking.org. Call us at 1-800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. And if you prefer to write in and send a donation by mail in the U.S., write to Hope for Today, Box 3927, Tustin, California, 92781. In Canada, write to us at Hope for Today, Box 15011, RPO, Seven Oaks, Abbotsford, BC, V2S, 8P1. Well, let's get back to David.
While we're continuing our study of the attributes of God, I hope you're enjoying it. I sure am. Just reading passage after passage about who God is, what God can do. Now, we started with the greatness of God. You got to get that in your heart, which leads to the sovereignty of God. He's in absolute control, running things. But flowing out of that is our subject now, and that's the power of God. The theologians call it omnipotence. Omnipotence, a word that just means all-powerful. People ask me, well, which came first, the chicken or the egg? That's easy. The chicken did. God's word says that he made all things, including vegetation, plant life, fruit trees, animals, in adult mature forms capable of reproduction, reproducing after their own kind. So I think, folks, sometimes we're a little silly with our questions. What we ought to do is go back to the Bible and read about the power of God. This supernatural power belongs to God, the Bible says. He can do what we cannot do. That affects a host of subjects. The Bible says in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me, literally through the one giving me the power to do them. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory in the church and in Messiah Yeshua forever. God bless you. I hope you can be with us for our next broadcast.
Well, thank you, David. And friend, if you missed any part of today's broadcast or maybe a recent Hope for Today broadcast, you can listen again anytime at davidhawking.org. Click on the radio tab and we keep our most recent broadcast there for a limited time. That's davidhawking.org. And please make sure to let a friend know about this radio broadcast, especially those who are new to the faith or perhaps those that don't know Christ at all. Having access to solid Bible teaching is critical when a person is just starting out in their Christianity. In fact, if you're a new believer, we'd like to send you David's free booklet, What is Christianity?, and a free Bible study by mail. We'll even send these to you if you're not yet a Christian, but you're curious about what the Bible says about being a Christian, about having your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You can request these resources by phone, 800-75-BIBLE in the U.S., 888-75-BIBLE in Canada. Bible is 24253. Well, tomorrow in the program, David returns with day two of his message, The Power of God. The world, well, it's impressed with human power, isn't it? But the fact of the matter is, nothing compares to the power of the living God. Nothing. Join us as we bring you the Bible, the whole Bible, and nothing but the Bible in our ongoing series on the attributes of God, right here on Hope for Today.